Next on Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update, there's a national push for mail-in voting during the pandemic, but some Republicans are strongly opposed to the idea. In Congress, Democrats have been pushing for federal money to allow every state to have a mail-in election and to expand early voting options as well. President Trump strongly objected to that idea in a Fox interview.
They had things, levels of voting that if you ever agreed to it, you'd never have a Republican elected in this country again.
Of course, some say this isn't a partisan issue at all. It's about safely voting during a pandemic. Coming up after NPR News, we will take your questions for New Mexico GOP Chair Steve Pierce and Democratic Party Chair Marge Elliston. Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. Next. I'm Fred Martino. Welcome to Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. Today we're going to be talking about campaigning and elections in a pandemic. Coming up later in our program, we'll speak with the chair of the New Mexico Democratic Party, Marge Elliston. But for our first half hour, I am very pleased to welcome to the program former Congressman Steve Pierce. He is chair of the New Mexico Republican Party. Steve, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Fred, happy to do it, and hope you and your family and your radio family are healthy and safe. These are unprecedented times for our country, aren't they?
They certainly are. We are operating in a way that I never could have imagined, Steve. We each have our own studio. We no longer share studios. We have one of our on-air personalities working from home because we want to have social distancing, and it is challenging. We're also only doing phone interviews now. I'd like to have you right across from me here in the studio, but we're not doing that right now in order to preserve safety.
Well, that is understandable, and I think that we all are doing things that we never thought that we would do, being careful around family and especially extended family. When we see them, being careful with the hugs, those things just are kind of changing the way that we think, and I'm not necessarily convinced that it's all bad. There are some good things that are coming. So, again, nice to be with you on the program today.
No, it is great to have you here, and I appreciate you taking time out to take questions from our listeners. We want to open those phone lines now for anyone that has a question for the chair of the New Mexico Republican Party, Steve Pierce. The number to call is area code 575-646-2212. That's 646-2212. And Steve, to start off with, let's talk about the issue that is really at the forefront when we talk about elections in the age of a pandemic, how you see this issue in terms of being able to vote when so many people are afraid to go out in public in any circumstance. I mean, we've all been there where it really is unsettling sometimes, even being out in public when people may not always maintain that 6-foot social distancing that we're told to do.
Well, as you asked the question, the Supreme Court of New Mexico just dealt with that question. The Democrats, basically, with one of the state senators from the Democrat Party, filing a writ in the courts asking for a VBM system, that's vote by mail. It's very distinctly different than absentee ballots, which is also by mail. But the VBM system is not legal. It's not approved in New Mexico. And so we filed countersuit in the Supreme Court saying, wait, we don't mind keeping everything by mail, but it needs to be the absentee ballot process, not the VBM system. So the Supreme Court decided with us, again, there were 4 Democrats, 1 Republican, they voted unanimously that the law didn't permit the VBM system. And so they instructed the Secretary of State to mail to every voter an absentee request form. And so every voter would get those request forms in the mail. and then they just simply have to return that out. Or
sure.
You can go online and fill out the request. So you can still vote 100% by mail, but the law also requires a minimum number of polling places to be open. And I'm sure that the local clerks are going to maintain social distance. They're going to maintain the 6-foot spacing. I suspect they'll have plexiglass sheets up, just like you see at many of the stores now. So there are going to be protections for the people who absolutely want to vote in person. But I suspect most people are going to request absentee ballots. I just filled out my request last night.
Yes, and we should let folks know know this right now, that you do not have to wait to get this in the mail, this application for an absentee ballot, if you intend to vote in the June primary by absentee. You can request an absentee ballot online at nmvote.org. In order to do that, when you go to nmvote.org, you should have your state-issued ID, like a driver's license, so that you can have your driver's license number in that online form, and you also need your Social Security number as well. We're going to go to phone callers now. Again, the number to call is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. Our first caller is Nadia. Hi, Nadia.
I'm here.
All right. Your question for our guest, Steve Pierce, Nadia.
Oh, well, thank you. And good afternoon, both of you. Good afternoon, Congressman. I appreciate the information that you're giving out. I just have a question. You know, realizing that, yes, indeed, there were four Democratic judges, one Republican. They did vote in favor of what the GOP proposed with regard to the voting. But I'm just curious, you know, with all of the states who currently do mail-in voting extremely successfully, with expatriates having done mail-in voting for many years very successfully, for the military all around the country and the world voting via mail very successfully, what is the what's the problem with having our elections done via mail? I'm just a little curious about that.
Yeah, I don't see a problem at all, as long as it's the absentee ballot that you referred to. That's what's been used for decades. When I was in Vietnam, I used that that method of voting, and like you said, it's well proven up, and that's what the justices approved. What they didn't approve was the VBM system, the vote-by-mail system, which the Democrat senator had pushed for. They're completely different processes. VBM, again, is not legal in New Mexico for whatever reason. The court said, hey, another branch of government failed to act, and we can't act in their behalf. And so we are forced only to interpret the law, not to make the law. So that was their decision.
Understood. Do you envision our legislature, the Senate and the House, potentially introducing legislation to allow VBM for the November election?
That's up to the governor, up to the legislature. The same senator who filed this writ with the Supreme Court actually tried to get a massive voter change through in the last days of the session. Democrats joined with Republicans to kill that bill. And so for me, it looked a little bit like he was trying to get around the legislative process, which raises ethical questions. But again, the court said, okay, you can't do it this way. You gotta do it like you're suggesting. Pass it through the House, and it'll be signed by the governor.
Okay. Nadia, thank you so much for that question today. We want to remind you again, we're talking with Steve Pierce, former congressman in the 2nd District and current chair of the New Mexico Republican Party. We're talking about elections and campaigning in the age of a pandemic, and our next caller is James. Hi, James. Your question for Steve Pierce.
Hello. I just wanted to say everybody needs to wear masks out there. You know, you keep everybody around you safe by doing that, whether you know it or you have it or not. So let's stay safe out there, everybody. But also, my question is, the post office is, like, on the edge of bankruptcy, right? So let's assume that we do decide to do, like, a vote-by-mail system for the next elections, for November election. It might be the safest way to do elections, unless we get, like, some treatments or something going that really actually do something. But the post office is going to be responsible for delivering this, I'm guessing, the same way that they are for doing the census, which got to remind everybody to do that census right now. But if, like, if over the summer the post office fails because the Trump administration doesn't save it, you know, too big to fail, talking about the post office now, like, how will that affect elections? Like, are they going to privatize it? Like, are cronies going to be able to, you know, get, like, contracts to deliver mail if the Postal Service fails? And who does that really benefit?
All right, James, thank you. Thank you, James, for your question. We do appreciate it. Steve, your thoughts on this, the need to make sure that we have a way, some way, to shore up the postal system, because dealing with elections, but with so many things, people depend on the U.S. postal system.
Well, it is true, and I suspect, I don't know, I have not talked to the president on this particular issue, but I suspect that he's very frustrated, and it was one of the frustrations that I had with the postal system. The management of the postal system is very bad. They don't do anything to work within their limits. They just keep running up deficits, and the bailout gets bigger and bigger for them. So I don't think that the post office is going to be allowed to fail. But when the president says that they should be, or that he might do that, usually he's just negotiating, and he's telling the rest of the Congress, hey, see if you can start giving some oversight to the postal system.
Yeah,
the workers in the postal system are hardworking. I probably work more issues for union members of the post office than any other single agency or even company, because their arbitration system was usually not too good. The management of the system was arrogant. They were full of themselves, and so we won a lot of skirmishes that we had between the workers and the management. So I don't place this on the back of the workers at all. It is just badly managed, and I think that's all the president's saying. It's not going to be allowed to fail. We will have a way to get mail and receive it. It's just too critical to the operation of the country, frankly, okay. Much more than just the vote.
All right. 646-2212. That's 646-2212. Your questions for New Mexico Republican Party Chair Steve Pierce. We're talking about campaigning and elections during a pandemic. Our next caller is Peter. Hi, Peter.
Hi. This is kind of a two-sided question on how Mr. Pierce would grade certain public figures. First of all, given the delay in dealing with the pandemic, and given the Mr. Trump's repeated recommendations of hydrochloroquine and other odd remedies, and his sacking of the person who had oversight of how the money was going to be spent, and other things that he's done, what grade would Mr. Pierce give Mr. Trump in his pandemic class overall, and why? And the same question as to what grade he would give Governor Lujan Grisham to date, without reference to what we should do now, but to date, what grade would he give her for her performance?
Okay, Peter, thank you for that. Those two questions. Steve, your response.
Yeah, I hear the political edge of the question, and that is that that the president has somehow delayed in his response. Keep in mind, I think it was a swine flu that was months that was raging under President Obama, and nobody said anything. The contamination of the number of people who got sick was in the 60 million person category, and not much was ever said. And then if you also take a look at the early clips when the president was restricting travel to China, you have Nancy Pelosi and a whole array of Democrat leaders saying, look, we're in Chinatown today. Come on down here. The president's wrong. It's safe. Please come on. And so suddenly then the National Democrat Party leaders have said, okay, we're going to take Trump on, and we're going to say that he was negligent. Well, they need to look in the mirror first.
Do you have
negligent, they were more so.
Steve, do you have a grade for President Trump? That was the question. Do you have a letter grade for him, or do you not want to engage in that?
All right, I would just say that satisfactory. I don't think it can
satisfactory.
Give a B, C, D, E, or F. It's either satisfactory
and he
or
also,
unsatisfactory.
Sure.
And give him a satisfactory.
Okay, and he also asked for a grade for Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham and how she's handling the pandemic, would you say satisfactory or unsatisfactory?
Well, I would break hers into two categories, satisfactory on much of what she's doing. But on the one issue that we have been very public about, I would grade her as unsatisfactory, and that's when she decided that she would allow out-of-state corporations to keep their retail outlets open and shut down all the locally owned Main Street businesses. What that's doing is sending our capital out of the state. Every dollar you spend at a big box store ends up leaving the state by 5 o'clock that afternoon. So in the future, we're not going to have as much money in our local banks to lend. We're not going to have as much deep capital pockets in order for people to buy cars or houses. And so we've taken continual umbrage with her in that regard. Not that we should just be careless in our opening up, but that the rules should apply evenly between locally owned businesses and the businesses that are owned from out of state, the big Wall Street corporations. I think that is causing us a great, great harm for our local businesses. Many are not going to be able to open back up. It's just that simple.
Okay, we are taking calls for Steve Pierce, former congressman and the current chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico. The number to call is 646-2212. That's 646-2212. If you're just joining us, coming up in our second half hour, we'll talk with the chair of the New Mexico Democratic Party, Marge Elliston. You know, we are mainly talking today about elections and campaigning in a pandemic, and we're getting a lot of polls on this, as I'm sure you're aware, Steve, because there are proposals in Congress to provide funding for every state to be able to provide mail, vote by mail, and also for every state to do what New Mexico has long done, which is early voting. And the latest poll that was done nationally that had a pretty big sample size was done by Reuters and Ipsos, and it found that most Americans, including a majority of Republicans, want the government to require mail-in ballots for the November 3rd presidential election if the coronavirus outbreak still threatens the public. So 72% of all U.S. adults want this. What's your response to that?
Well, that as long as it's by legal means, and in New Mexico that legal means is the absentee ballot, then sure, I think that there's no difference here.
Okay. So earlier we were hearing questions from one of our callers, Peter, about President Trump, and here is how, when this was brought up on Fox News, here is how he responded to the notion of the bill that's in Congress to provide money to states so that every state can have mail-in voting and early voting, early in-person voting. This is what he said.
They had things, levels of voting that if you ever agreed to it, you'd never have a Republican elected in this country again.
So what's your response to that, that being asked about providing funding to allow every state to do this, that was his response? What would you say to that?
Again, he's referring to the VBM system. That's the vote by mail. It's a very specific system, and he is, I think he's accurate in that. The VBM system is where everybody that is on the voter rolls gets a ballot, and regardless if they request it or not. A lot of people have moved out of state. People have passed away. They're still on the voter rolls. People have moved addresses inside the state. When Albuquerque tried a VBM system and they're legal in special elections without people on the ballot here in New Mexico, last January, not this year, but last year they tried one, 58,000 ballots were returned to the county clerk. She's a Democrat, friend of mine, was in talking to her about that time. She was just throwing up her hands in despair, saying, I can't get these ballots back out in time to get them to people. Then you have ballots that show up at addresses where people used to live, and there is no method to find out if the person who is the voter actually gets those or someone else does. That's what the president's referring to as being very inequitable. And so that's what the whole question was. Now, on the VBM,
I think what I'm hearing about the funding, Fred. Yeah.
And I'm trying to get to that point.
Okay.
Actually, $400 million was put into the first bill for this VBM system. The Democrats came back and said, no, it needs to be $4 billion, 10 times the amount. $400 million is a huge amount of money. And so that was in the first bill. So when the Democrats are claiming that he's not doing anything for voting and helping people vote by mail, as long as it's absentee by mail, he's willing to do it. But even the VBM system got $400 million in the first stimulus package.
Okay. Well, yes. I mean, the money that we're talking about, the proposal in Congress, does cover allowing money for every state for vote by mail, but it also would allow every single state to have early voting as well. So there are a number of things in there, too much that would take more than an entire show today to go through everything and every dollar that's being proposed. But I was kind of, you know, curious more to your response that the president had there than anything else, that essentially he was being asked about providing money to the states for this type of a system in every state. And his response was about what he felt that the result might be, that it might damage chances for Republicans to have a system like that. And a lot of people are saying, look, this is not partisan at all. This is not a partisan issue. It's about safety. It's about providing safety. And quite frankly, if you look at Wisconsin, I want to ask you about this, too, before we have to leave the show today. You know, you have people waiting for an hour and a half, 2 hours, if they wanted to vote in Wisconsin, because a small number of polling places was available. That was part of the reason there. Are you fearful of such a thing occurring in the fall, even if we have mail-in voting, as they did in Wisconsin, where people feel that there was not a fair election because you know, some people just are not going to wait a couple hours to vote, and they may not even be able to stand that long?
Well, that's up to the Secretary of State and the county clerks to solve those problems. They're the ones who need to estimate how many people are going to vote. They're the ones in charge of it, and I trust that they will run it accordingly for their county. Some places are very, very isolated, no cases of coronavirus at all here in New Mexico, and I suspect that they're going to have a little bit different process than you might have downtown Albuquerque. So, again, trying to assess from my point of view, I say we let the specialists handle it. That's our county clerks and our Secretary of State.
Okay. As we're running out of time here, I want to address with you as well, because we haven't had a chance to do that yet in our final minutes, campaigning during a pandemic. This has really turned things upside down. You can't have rallies. You can't go door to door. I know there have been reports from the Associated Press that the Trump campaign is working with the Republican Party using an app and trying to do more in terms of electronic connection to people. Give me an assessment of this and how this goes forward as we approach the presidential election in the fall.
That's probably the most significant change that we're going to have in campaigns, and hopefully it gets back to what it was before. As I will tell you, the in-person contact, our voters in America are very astute. In the first few minutes, they can determine if they like or don't like a candidate much more in person than they can through social media contact. We transitioned over in 24 hours into social media and to digital campaigning, but I will tell you that we need to get this crisis in control, where our candidates can be met one-on-one and even in a group of 100 or 50,000 in a room watching them in person. It's much different and much more effective at determining who the better candidate is.
Okay. Well, Steve Pierce, he is the chair of the New Mexico Republican Party. Steve, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your thoughts on this very difficult situation. We really appreciate it.
Brad, keep up the great work, and you all stay safe. Thank you very much.
You stay safe as well. Thank you. Coming up, we'll take your phone calls for New Mexico Democratic Party Chair Marge Elliston. But first, some background on what's been happening in New Mexico in regard to changing election procedures for safety reasons. More than two dozen of New Mexico's county clerks asked the state Supreme Court for an emergency order that would have allowed them to conduct the June 2nd primary by mail. The clerks said they otherwise faced an impossible choice, putting voters' and election workers' lives at risk or violating their oath of office amid the pandemic. In their petition, they said, quote, "The state of New Mexico faces a public health emergency unprecedented in modern times." Secretary of State Maggie Toulouse Oliver, New Mexico's chief election officer, supported that petition, describing the move to mail-in ballots, with some exceptions for in-person voting, as a sensible way to protect public health and the right to vote. The Supreme Court unanimously rejected the petition, instead ordering the clerks to mail applications for absentee ballots. We're now going to hear from State Senator Daniel Ivy Soto. He was the attorney for the county clerks.
What is really impacting is the SARS-CoV-2 virus and the contagion by the SARS-CoV-2 virus. That is not dependent on a piece of paper. And as Dr. Fauci has said several times, we don't pick the time frame, the virus does. So, in fact, it is not dependent upon the governor's order. It's dependent upon the time frame for the virus and the contagion that exists. And that's why county clerks have come to this court in an extraordinary situation, asking this court to invoke its ordinary powers.
That was State Senator Daniel Ivy Soto, the attorney for county clerks, asking the state Supreme Court to go to a mail-in ballot in June. Also asking the court to do that was Dylan Lang, the attorney for the Secretary of State.
We need your inherent authority or your authority and equity to grant the relief that we need, that the election administrators need to not only, right, protect the public safety and welfare, as the interveners are arguing for, but also to ensure the fundamental right to vote. And I believe the amici brief supported in this case and submitted to you all clearly describe, right, the power that this court has to act when the other branches of act can't act. And also, the Supreme Court of New Mexico must have the ability to act when there is no express limit on the court's ability to exercise its equitable powers in a public health crisis.
Dylan Lang, the attorney for the Secretary of State. But as we said earlier, the state Supreme Court unanimously rejected the petition. Instead, ordering the county clerks to send applications for absentee ballots to major party voters for the June 2nd primary in New Mexico. This, of course, is not just a controversy in our state. It is a controversy all across the nation. And voting rights advocates are outraged, including Myrna Perez of the Brennan Center.
For all that we're hearing from certain quarters of opposition to vote by mail, there are plenty of Republicans that know from their own experiences that their voters like it and that it can be done securely and safely. It's very frustrating to hear people talk about vote by mail as if it was this like brand new thing that no one had ever thought of or no one had any experience with it. That's not the case. There are a number of states that already use it a lot. And then there are a number of states that let anybody who want to use it already. And so we have a ready-made risk diversification to in-person voting available through the form of vote by mail. And it would be foolish to not lean on it at this time. And as we've all mentioned, we still need in-person options because we don't know what November is going to look like. We don't know what the post office shape might be in. We need to have various different ways in which voters can cast ballots that'll count. But vote by mail is something that states have experiences with, and some states have lots of experience with, and we can draw on those experiences moving forward.
Yes, indeed. Myrna Perez, she is with the Brennan Center. The Brennan Center issuing online a report about vote by mail, and Myrna Perez very eloquently there making the point that this is nothing new, that in fact in five states, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Utah, and in Washington, mail balloting has been the primary method of voting. In fact, in the last two federal elections, roughly one out of every four Americans cast a ballot by mail. We are continuing our conversation on voting and campaigning during a pandemic. For this half hour, we welcome the chair of the New Mexico Democratic Party, Marg Elliston. Marg, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Fred.
It's good to have you here today. This issue really is not just an issue in New Mexico. It's an issue all around the country where people are incredibly worried about the fall election. And unlike some issues, we actually have seen the disaster that can ensue if you do not take action to make sure that you're ready. In Wisconsin, we see people waiting for an hour and a half, 2 hours. There have already been cases where people, they are looking at and saying that they believe that they got COVID-19 from standing in a line. They didn't necessarily want to stand in a line, but they maybe didn't get their absentee ballot in time. Tell me your concerns as we approach November on this, and what needs to be done.
Well, thanks. Right now we're approaching June 2nd, which is our presidential primary election. So I'm focused on that right now, but I'm going to talk about November later. But I just wanted everyone to know that right now, Democrats are doing everything possible to encourage New Mexicans to vote absentee. It's the safest and easiest way to make sure that as many people as possible are still able to participate in our democracy. And we want people to know it's really easy to request an absentee ballot by just going to the New Mexico Secretary of State website and filling out an application online. The ballots are going to be mailed out starting May 5th for our June 2nd primary. And so we're working on this election right now. And we're lucky to have such wonderful elected officials like our Secretary of State, like your county clerk, Amanda Lopez-Askin, working hard to make this process as easy and safe as possible. And we're proud to support their efforts.
And we mentioned in the last half hour, for folks who do want to vote absentee in the primary in June, they can go to nmvote.org. That will take you to the Secretary of State website, and you can go online and request your absentee ballot to be sent to you. You need your state-issued ID number and your Social Security number, which you will enter online as part of a verification process, and then you will get your ballot mailed to you so that you don't have to worry about exposing yourself to any danger in a polling place. 646-2212, that's 646-2212, to join our conversation with Marg Elliston, the chair of the Democratic Party in New Mexico. And, you know, you mentioned the primary election, but as I mentioned, we also have our eye here on November, because not every state is like New Mexico, where you can request an absentee ballot for any reason. There are 16 states where that is not permitted, like Texas, not permitted, okay? And there's grave concern about this in Congress. Democrats have proposed federal funding that would allow every state to have both mail-in voting and then also early voting, which is also not in every state, so that we end up with an election in November where people are not in a situation where they feel their health is at risk in order to exercise their right to vote.
That's right. So what we're focusing on right now is to get people familiar with the process of asking for an absentee ballot and then filling it out, sending it in, and having their vote recorded. You know, we have a great opportunity with our primary election to kind of practice for November, and we want people to be used to using a mail-in ballot and to vote at home. It's something that New Mexicans haven't we haven't done for quite a while, and we think it's a really important tool for these challenging times we're in with disease and
Yeah, and I know that you actually, your party sent out this week a press release which said that the Democratic Party actually is doing phone banks to call up voters and let them know about this option so that they're not confused. Initially, when this Supreme Court decision was issued, there was a lot of confusion, as you're aware, because the Supreme Court, rather than doing what the Secretary of State wanted and what the clerks wanted, which was to just mail the ballots, the Supreme Court said that they didn't have the authority to do that, so all they could do was is tell the county clerks you must mail an application for a ballot. And again, if folks are just joining us, you know, if you go online to nmvote.org, if you want to vote absentee, you can do this, and you do not need to then fill out paperwork twice on paper. You can simply do it online and then get your ballot mailed to you, correct?
Exactly right. And just so everybody knows and doesn't get nervous, because the Secretary of State and the county clerks are not mailing out the actual ballots until May 5th.
Right.
But you're in the queue, ready to go. And I've been nervous about that myself, but I'm told it's okay.
All right.
So I just wanted to say that I was told that Steve Pierce claimed that voting by mail is not legal in New Mexico, and that's not true. We've had no-fault absentee ballot process for a long time in the state, and we can do that because the legislature's made that possible over the years. And many people have taken advantage of that process.
Well, and Margaret, I'm sure as you know, there also, with more recent legislation, New Mexico allowed an all-mail election at the local level. So that has already been done, including here in Las Cruces.
Right, and we are using it for special elections.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's very important to understand that. And I mentioned, if folks are just joining us right now, that there are five states in the country, and they have varying forms of verification and audits. But there are five states, Colorado, Hawaii, Oregon, Utah, and Washington, where mail balloting is their primary method of voting.
That's right, and I think in Oregon it's the only method. I was just on a Western States call with folks from all those states, and they were all talking about how successful it is. And Oregon has a really high voter participation percentage. I think they have like 60% of people vote in Oregon because they vote by mail. It's convenient, and they like that system. And all those states have shown no increase in voter fraud in any way. The votes are secure, they're posted, and they're successful. People and voters like it.
Okay. We have Marg Elliston with us. She is the chair of the New Mexico Democratic Party. If you have a question for her, I'd love to have you join our conversation. The number to call is 575-646-2212. That's 646-2212. And we're going to go to the phones right now. Our first caller is Peter. Hi, Peter.
Howdy. Very quick question. Something that I, if I'm correct, kind of gets lost in the discussion, or at least did during the first half hour, regarding the New Mexico Supreme Court decision. And that's the distinction between holding that sending ballots to every address you have is illegal in New Mexico and couldn't be done, as opposed to it could be done if the legislature did it, but the county, the Secretary of State doesn't have the authority, and we, the Supreme Court, don't have the authority, but that change could be made.
Okay. Did you have a question as well for Mark?
No, that was really my question was whether I'm correct about that, and you know whether she wanted to explain
that. We'll have her address that. Thanks, Peter.
So, you know, it was kind of the Supreme Court ruled against the clerk's request because they didn't think they had the authority to make the decision about switching our system to all vote, to entirely vote by mail. There's a lot of legislation about who, how elections will proceed, and the Supreme Court didn't want to get into a separation of powers argument about that. So they, realizing the urgency of the situation, they asked that the Secretary of State and the county clerks mail out applications for voting by mail, but they couldn't dictate that they could mail out ballots. But, you know, it's been mailing out ballots has been successful elsewhere. We certainly hope that we can get some legislation to clear up the situation and have us prepared for November, for a time when we don't know what the health situation is going to be, but it would be really great to have a vote-by-mail system. It would be great to have a vote-by-mail system, and we hope that when the legislature meets, which I think they will when it's safe, in special session, that will allow a expanded system to allow absentee voting in a way to vote, make sure people can vote safely.
Okay, and if you're just joining us, our guest is from the New Mexico Democratic Party, the chair, Marg Elliston. You can join the conversation at 575-646-2212. You know, we have a Facebook point, Marg, from Luis, and Luis talks about this. He says, what about people that don't have the accurate address in their voter registration? There's good news on this front. If you go to nmvote.org, when you go through the verification process to request an absentee ballot be mailed to your home or your mailing address, per se, you will be able to not only verify your Social Security number and also your ID, your state-issued ID, but you'll be able to verify your address. Make sure that your address is current. And if it isn't, you can ask for that to be corrected, right?
That's correct. I didn't realize that it was all on the same page, and that's good to know. What we're doing right now, the Democrats in New Mexico are launching a phone banking effort to encourage Democrats to update their addresses on their voter registration so that their correct present address is in the system and that they'll use that address will be used when they receive that application for an absentee ballot.
Absolutely.
But the best way is what you just talked about, to be sure to go online to apply for your absentee ballot, put your address in, change it on your voter registration information, and do it in the comfort of your own home on your own computer, and that would be great. We're reaching out. We just started a virtual training for virtual phone banks. It's all online, and we are inviting people to join us and to help make phone calls to let people know about the steps involved in doing this. But it's pretty simple steps. It's confirming your voter registration information is correct, and then going to the Secretary of State website, as you've so ably instructed folks to do, and sign up for your absentee ballot.
Absolutely.
They asked for one more piece of information you didn't say, but I hope people will remember their birth date.
Of course. Awesome. We hope so. We hope they don't have to have that written down. But I had to have my driver's license out, of course, because I don't have that number memorized.
Right.
I can still remember my Social Security number, just barely. But
and you got your birth date, okay.
That's right, and my birth date, thank goodness. That's an important day. 646-2212, the number to call. That's 646-2212. Got about 10 more minutes to ask questions of our guest, Marg Elliston. She is the chair of the New Mexico Democratic Party. You know, in our last half hour, when we were talking with Steve Pierce, the chair of the Republican Party in New Mexico, one of the things I pointed out, Marg, is that unlike some issues in our country, the notion of doing mail-in balloting during a pandemic is very, very popular, almost universal, as a matter of fact. Here's a poll. Reuters and Ipsos did a national poll, and they found that 72% of all U.S. adults supported a requirement for mail-in ballots as a way to protect voters in case of the continued spread of a respiratory disease later this year. I mention this because this is absolutely critical to talk about right now, because in Congress, there is legislation that would provide funding so that every state in the country could provide mail-in balloting and early voting so that you avoid long lines for people that, for whatever reason, don't do vote by mail. And that bill is going nowhere right now. So it's absolutely critical that people are aware of this if they want to have a voice in this issue right now. And the only other voice that's being heard is in the courts, because as in Texas, as I'm sure you're aware, this was taken to court and a judge has demanded that Texas provide this for their primary. We had a story on our local newscast this morning about that. Your thoughts on this?
Wow. I didn't know. I haven't been keeping up with Texas these days. I haven't had a chance to get my sister's update lately, so sorry about that. But, yes, we need to be able to do that. And I was on a call yesterday. The conversation is that the Congress has appropriated $400 million to for secretaries of state around the country to improve voting during this pandemic. But the fact is that we need to have $2 billion worth of funding, which is like nothing compared to what is being appropriated these days. So we need an additional $1.6 billion to make vote by mail feasible all over the country. So it would be really great to have that happen, and I'm really fearful that Senator McConnell and that guy in the White House don't want that to happen. So
You mentioned President Trump. So President Trump actually was asked about this on Fox News, and this is what he had to say, actually.
They had things, levels of voting that if you ever agreed to it, you'd never have a Republican elected in this country again.
So what's your response to that, that his response to the question about providing funding to the states to have mail-in balloting and have early voting?
Well, I think the president knows that when voting is easy and accessible and people are excited about voting, Democrats usually do really well. So, but that's not a reason to make it hard for people to vote, although the Republicans are trying to. Or that's one of their major strategies this cycle.
Okay. Well, I just think that our purpose here is to educate people, to let them know that this is happening. Sometimes when something is a couple of months off, as the November election is, it gets lost in the news cycle. But this is
right.
Is absolutely essential for people to be aware of this issue if they want to have their voice be heard on it. And that's what Voice of the Public is all about. You have about 7 or 8 minutes to get your questions in at 646-2212 for Marg Elliston. She is the chair of the New Mexico Democratic Party. And we do have a caller. Migala is with us. Hi, your question for Marg.
The driver's license is going to be one of the documents to verify that I really am who I am.
Yes.
But my driver's license expires every year, and the motor vehicle department is closed right now because all this is going on. Is my driver's license no longer valid for that verification?
Is your driver's license valid right now?
Well, it's in the 30 days grace period, but the motor vehicle department is not.
Okay. Well, when you go to nmvote.org and put your driver's license number in there and also your social security number, you will go through the process. And if those numbers are accepted, you will come to the end of the process and it will indicate whether it has been successfully completed. And as I mentioned earlier, You also will be verifying your address when you do this as well. So at nmvote.org, you will scroll down and you will see request an absentee ballot. It'll take you through that step by step. I actually have done this, so I know that it works.
Well, I just know there's a lot of senior citizens whose driver's licenses are in the expired status right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and Mark, do you have any info
on
that? I have a
friend that's in that same boat, and I've been reading in the paper that the MVD is just putting everything
sure.
on hold at this time.
Okay. And we're going to have the Secretary of State on the program next week.
Okay.
Maggie Toulouse-Oliver will be with us next Friday at 1 o'clock. And so we'll definitely ask her about that issue, and we appreciate you bringing that up because it's important important issue.
And there is a workaround because you can download an application for an absentee ballot and then send that in, and it doesn't require a driver's license.
Ah, wonderful to know. Okay, well, and of course,
you have to download it, print it out, and then mail it in.
Yeah,
well,
using
your own stamp.
And folks are also going to get it in the mail automatically, according to what the court asked the clerks to do.
Right.
We have another caller. I only have a couple of minutes, so I want to get to another caller. Dave is on the line. Dave, your question.
Yeah, Fred. Yeah, I'm just wondering. I heard that the Republicans could be really playing a game of voter fraud, and I just worry that if we do have vote by mail, how are you going to keep the Republicans from implementing their voter fraud? Is there any worry about that?
I'm not aware of what you're talking about, Dave, but certainly we mentioned earlier, and Marg, I know that you're aware of this, that there are procedures involved to verify information. We've talked about this exhaustively during the last hour, that in order to even request the absentee ballot online at nmvote.org, you have to enter a state-issued ID number. You also have to enter your Social Security number. And so we also want to point out, if you are just joining us, that vote by mail is done as the primary voting method in five states, including Colorado. So very important to understand it. We just have a couple of minutes left. I want to get to...
Real quickly.
Sure.
So from what we know, vote by mail doesn't lead to voter fraud.
Right.
There's no significant evidence of that.
Right.
And I'm afraid that the GOP is trying to spread fear to keep people away from the ballot box because they know, again, when Democrats vote... We win, and everybody wins because Democrats do a great job.
Well, we got one more caller. We have time for one more caller very quickly. Chris, your question.
A reminder that pertains, despite the pandemic aspect of this thing, if it was a mail-in system, we wouldn't have any computer hacking on the voting machines.
Well, and of course,
kill two birds with one stone.
Okay, Chris, thank you so much for that. We really appreciate it. And Marg, as I mentioned, next week, we're going to continue this conversation with our Secretary of State. I think I have time for one more caller. Is this Dave? Is this you again, or is this a different Dave?
Yes, it is.
Different Dave. Question. What's your question, Dave?
Well, a lot of us aren't online. And I have no idea who to call.
Okay, well, very good news. If you're a major party voter, so you would vote in the primary, you are going to be getting an application for an absentee ballot mailed to your address. So you do not – we were just mentioning the online aspect because if you do go online, you can actually skip that step. You can go online to request your ballot. So good question. Thanks so much, Dave, for that. Marg, we're running out of time. Final words here. We just have about a minute and a half left. Your final words for voters in New Mexico, not only about the primary in June, but about the fall election and the need to be informed about this issue.
Well, my final words are for everyone to sign up for your absentee ballot and vote it and send it in. Get your absentee ballot now. I mean, you can ask for it now. It'll come up in May 5th, and Democrats are fired up to make sure everybody's safe during our primary so that we can use our experience for November.
You know, and we have about a minute here, Mark, and I want you to address this because, again, I want to just emphasize so much this is not a partisan issue. One of the things that I heard an expert say, and I want to get your take on this in about 30 seconds, if people don't feel that there was a fair election in November, the damage that would do in terms of people feeling that the government was legitimate. If you can talk about that.
Well, I think there's a lot of we just want to focus on the positive and make sure that we do everything we can to make sure that this election in November is legitimate, that many, many people feel safe in participating, and many people choose the Democrats as the party that can clean up the mess that we have right now and make sure that that government functions in a way to support our health and safety.
All right, Marg Elliston, she is the chair of the New Mexico Democratic Party. Marg, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Thank you for joining us at home. Intermezzo by Request is coming up after NPR News.